Okay, let us learn Rav Pinkus on Parshas Vayetze. Very big yisayid we're going to learn together. Vayikra Shem Hamakom Ahu Beis Kel. He called the name of the place Beis Kel. So the Gemara Pesachim says, Loikav Ram Shekasu Bayhar. There are different ways of looking at Har Maria. Avram called it Ahar, Shenemar Asher Ye'omer Hayom Har Hashem Yira'eh, that it should be said on this day that Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. So Avram Avinu looked at Har Maria as Ahar. V'loy ki Yitzchak Shekasu Baisada, and not like Yitzchak, who called it a field. Shenemar Beitzei Yitzchak L'suach Basada. Yitzchak went out to daven in the field. That's where we know Mincha from. Ela ki Yaakov shekara bayis shenema v'yikra shem hamakim ahu beiskel, that he called the name of the place beiskel. So basically, the Gemara is saying that there were three different ways that the Avis looked, each with their own unique glance, at the Makim HaMikdash. Avraham Avinu looked at it as a har, Yitzchak looked at it like a sada, and Yaakov looked at it as a bias. And that's why it says in this week's parasha, Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Ahu Beis Kel. Now, what does this mean? Obviously, there's depth to this, right? It just doesn't mean that they just happen to randomly call it in their own way. There's obviously some deeper explanation of what this chazal means. So, Haisa Khan. Be'etzem machlekes gedayla bein aveis ha'uma, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, mahi aderech la'asagas kesher ishi im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the way Rav Pinkus views this is that it's a machlekes. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all had a debate in terms of what's the best way of attaining a kesher, a personal kesher with Hashem. Zaya pasha l'kulam, Shes HaKesher Yafshar Livnais Beruchayv. Everybody agreed, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, regardless of what they called it, one thing was universally agreed upon, and that is that you can't build a relationship in a street, begina in a garden, a park, kitzrichim pratis. You need some degree of privacy. If you're going to be creating a relationship with Hashem, you need to have some intimacy. You have to have privacy. Im adam yikvas atzav v'rachayiv, if a person sets himself up in the street, hu vadei lo yetzei talmid chacham v'yarei shemayim gadol, that's for sure. You can't get a personal connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to grow spiritually by hanging around in the street. Hanging around the street is going to do the opposite, but it's not going to allow you to have that personal growth together with Hashem. Ela shesav Avram Avinu shel hasagas hapratius bein am Yisrael avim shvashamayim maspik lales al har gavaya. It's enough to go up on a high mountain. Lisnatik mitumas ha'elam v'lachyes sham b'yachidus Hashem Yisparach. Lahavdil, this is, you know, not to be in any way, but you know, there are people that go up to the top of mountains and they have these what do you call it? What do they do with Hashem? They have
meditations.
Meditations. So okay, whatever. So that is that Avraham Avinu felt that would be good enough. You don't need that much privacy to have a relationship with Hashem. It's enough if you go up to the top of a very high mountain, like a Mount Everest type of thing, or a Himalayas, and you basically just are able to be mispited with Hashem, have yechidus with Hashem. And they say a story about the Kotzker Rebbe when he was a young boy. So he went with his Rebbe and his class on a Lag BaOmer trip. And they came back to yeshiva at the end of the trip, and they did a head count, albeit late, and they realized that the young Kotzker was not with them. So they got frantic, you know, they ran back to the site where they were camping, where they were spending the day, and they found the Kotzker like lying on the ground, looking up, and just repeating like as if in a trance, Tzama nafshi olekim lekel chai, that my soul yearns for you, Hashem. That's his spaydus. Avraham Avinu felt that's good. That's a great avayd of Hashem to go up high mountain, privacy. There's not going to be too many people walking around there. You're able to just be mispaided with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talk to him and daven to him and cry to him and sing to him and praise him. Ba Yitzchak va'amar, but then Yitzchak came along and said, Loi, harein amas, that's not enough privacy. It's not good enough. It's true that there aren't too many people milling about on the top of a mountain. It still is an area of hefker. Anyone is allowed access to the top of a mountain. You don't have to be anybody, you don't have to have a VIP pass to get there. You need a field. Shusheta Prati, a field is like more private. It's like my own private garden, my own private backyard. You have to do it more than the top of a mountain, which is Hefker. You have to find a field that's more private. Maybe it's a gated field, and that way you'll be able to really have a relationship with Hashem without any distractions, with all of the necessary privacy that a relationship with Hashem demands. Comes along Yaakov Avinu, Savar, what does he hold? Shafilu ha-prati sheshen basadeh, adayin einenu maspekes, liyitziras ha-kesha, royim ha-rabbanu shalom, it's still not enough. Yesh tzarech be-pratiyas maleya. You have to have absolute privacy, pratiyas shel bayis, which can only be attained in a home. In a home, in a house, that's where you could lock the doors and you can make sure that there's not going to be anyone coming in, looking in, etc. Bayis yushed of pratiyas me'achuz, and it's 100% watertight. Af echelay nichnas labayis, nobody is coming into your house. Elam kenu daifik badels. To get in, he has to knock on the door. Afilu kasher adels ena ne'ula, and even when the door is not locked, they'll still knock. Ki mevinim shezeo shetach prati. Everybody understands that a house is a private domain. She'ein rishus la'af echel likanes elam. Nobody is allowed to enter. If you come into somebody else's house, you'll get arrested. Elam can keep versus me balabai. So you know that you have to have absolute permission. So that was a very major machlekes between Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What is the way of creating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avram Avinu felt a har is good enough. Yitzchak Avinu felt, no, that's not enough. You still need it to be a more of a private area than that, which is a sada. And Yaakov said, no, it's still not enough. You have to go into a house, and that's what the Gemara means when it says Ve'achin Chazal Emim Leik Avram Shkaru Har Leik Yisrael Shkaru Sada Ela Ki Yaakov Shkaru Bayis. Yaakov Vino Chidesh Davrim Ma'ir Chashem, and Rapinkas takes this and he applies it L'maisa, and he says that it's very Chashem what Yaakov Vino was Mechadish, what he originated here. When a person wants to create a connection, a clinging, a cleaving between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, it's not enough to have just Dveikos alone. Hadveikos ha'huz tzarech pratis. You have to have absolute privacy. Upratis mechletes. Lai har lai sada labayis beis hamikdash. Beis HaMikdash hayimakim bay chayenu yachad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tushav tahar. What happened in the Beis HaMikdash? We lived, we dwelled together alone with Hashem b'tushav tahar. Uvi amenu she'en lanu Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. So what's the present day Beis HaMikdash? Zahi gam mitzir shal tamini chachamim Yehudi chay im bayrei b'kesher shal pratis mechletes b'li la'afsher la'ashpay zaris lachtar Panima. Where Pincus is saying, and I'll I guess, modernize it from the time that he said it, because so much has happened to our homes in the meantime. But I mean, Pincus didn't, you know, live a very long time ago. He was Nifter, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. But he missed the whole, like, I guess, internet and smartphone phase of the world. But the site is that if we want to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to have, like, the dveikus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence deserves and demands, we have to make sure, according to Yaakov Avinu, to have a house. What does it mean to have a house? It means to create our homes into a Mikdash Ma'at. And to do so, we have to try to keep out the foreign influences as much as possible. Meaning, a home doesn't mean a home just because you happen to have a roof over your head. That doesn't make it the bias that Yaakov Avinu envisioned. The bias that Yaakov Avinu envisioned was a home, that a place that has the ability, when you're inside of it, to be very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Jewish home is supposed to be that. And I know none of you are married, so we could change it. We could replace the home with a dorm room, with with anything, any place that you're living at any point in your life. If you want to have the closest relationship with the Rabbi Hashem possible, you have to make sure to seal off the house as much as you can from foreign influences. Sometimes in the olden days, this shmuz would have been applicable with certain svarim, with certain books that were like Haskalah type of books, philosophy, the Enlightenment movement, like books that were, you know, not written al pi das Torah. I have I used to have a roommate in a yeshiva that I went to as a bacher, who was a great grandson of the Chafetz Chaim. And So he was a great grandson of the Chafetz Chaim, and it's funny because I just met my roommate's son at my son-in-law's afruf a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling him the story. He had never heard it, even though his father told it to me. And then I saw him, I think, by the chasner, one of the shav brachas, and he told me that his father had a little bit of a different nusach than I remembered it, but whatever, I think I'm right. But anyway, the story goes something like this, that my roommate's grandmother was a daughter of the Chafetz Chaim. She lived in New York, and my roommate's father was her son, and I don't know, he was in a library, I think it was, and he wanted to see what a big like leader of the Reform movement, Moses Mendelssohn. He wrote a book, a sefer on Chumash called The Beer. The Beer is it's a pretty famous work that he wrote. And he wanted, so he's curious in his yeshiva bacher. He wanted to see, okay, we know that, you know, this person created tremendous harm to Klal Yisrael, but at the end of the day, was he a Talmud Chacham? Does he have good Torah? Does he have Gishmaka, Chidushim, or not? So he basically took a volume of it out of the library, I think, and then he brought it home. And he was reading it at home, and then before he went to sleep, he didn't want his mother to find it. So he basically put it behind some svarim on a shelf in the living room. The next morning, his mother woke up, and when my friend's father woke up, her son, so, you know, he sees that she's very mivulbalik, she's very confused, she's very anxious about something. Something's making her very nervous. And he says, "Mama, what's wrong? Is everything okay?" So she said, "I don't know, the Tata came to me in a dream last night, meaning Chavetz Chaim, and I saw him in a dream, and it was like very real. He was in the apartment here, and he was taking like a step stool, and he was like reaching behind Svarim Shrines and saying like, 'Where is it? Where is it?' And I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he's looking for. I have no idea what he's looking for. And, you know, I don't think my friend's father told her, but like as soon as she like went into the kitchen or something, he took it out and he fled with it. I told the story to my father, Alva Shalom, and my father had at home, my father has a lot of old sarim that he yarshin in the family. We happen to have had a set of the beer from Moses Mendelssohn, and when he heard the story, basically he threw him out. I don't know if he threw it out or he put it in Seamus or something, but could have probably sold it on auction for, you know, a decent amount of money, but he decided just to get rid of it. But that would be an example of like many years ago what an application of this would be to try to keep our home, you know, very, very free of foreign influences, because if you have foreign influences in your house, then I'm not saying you can't be a Talmud Chacham, you can't be a Ben Torah, but it creates a lot more resistance to that. And then, like, as time, you know, passed, then that could have been replaced with a television. You know, when I was dating, it was like, does he want a TV in his house when he gets married? Does he want a TV in his mouth? And even not so long ago, but like today, like nobody asked that question, because there's really TVs I don't think even are in. I don't think it's a thing anymore, right? I mean, they have cable, I guess, but there's no TV. TV is like, it's obsolete. Today, everything is on the phone. You can get on internet, YouTube, whatever. You can get everything that you need there. So I don't think like that question is even relevant anymore, really. But all of these things that we bring into our house, and they're not filtered, and they're open for everybody, it creates a situation that we're basically inviting into our homes things that are taking us away from the Dveikus and Hashem. Because I think we could all admit, even if we're looking at things that are all kosher on our phone, but it definitely, the fact, even just having it on us, makes davening harder, I think. It makes learning harder. It makes life harder, because we're so inundated by, you know, this addiction called technology and always needing to get our fix of news, to get our fix of entertainment, to get our fix of sports, whatever it is, video games, whatever it is that people are into. Yaakov Avinu is mechadish that if you want to have Dveikus in Hashem, if you want to connect closely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be a bias, and the bias has to be something that is sealed. Like, you're not, that's what a bias is. A bias is something that we don't let anything and everything come into our house. You wouldn't bring Chas V'Shalom, some of a desire into your house, because, you know, we know that that's not politically correct, but yet we have no problem bringing all types of other stuff that is probably, in a sense, worse than TV, than Avodah Zarah, because look at all of the access that we're giving, and we're giving our families and our children to things that are not. That's why, like, when people are dating, this is a question that is often, you know, brought up. Like, do you want to have internet in your house? Do you want to have a laptop in your house? If you need it for work, you know, obviously that's one thing. But if you don't need it for work, then just having in your house is for a very firm person something that would be, you know, unheard of. Like, how do you bring that into your house? Because it's gonna it takes away from the kedusha of the home. Unfortunately, like, the Yetzirah is very smart. The Yetzirah knows that, you know, he created a situation that every house, you know, most houses somehow need to have, either for work or today, you know, you need recipes from it, or kids need to be entertained by it, and husbands need the stock market, and there's always, there's always another reason to have it in the house. But a person that's able to really be very strong and to try to keep it out to the degree that he can, really has the ability to raise a family and to raise himself in a way that's really, you know, very, very, very good in terms of creating a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's a story that's told of a person who he went to he went to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, what can I do for you? He says, I have a very big problem with my Yetzirah. My Yetzirah is constantly getting the best of me, constantly winning every war, and like, I can't anymore. I can't live with my Yetzirah. I have like a huge Yetzirah. So the Rebbe said, all right, go to a certain place. It's like in the middle of like a Russian forest, like miles and miles away. It's the middle of the winter. It's freezing cold. And there's a very big tzaddik. And he's going to be able, go there tonight, he'll be able to get rid of your Yetzirah. He'll get rid of your Yetzirah. So I said, okay, fine. The Rebbe said to do it, I'm going to do it. So he takes a knapsack and he takes some supplies with him and he puts his winter coat on, his gloves, and he heads to this place and he finally finds it's miles and miles deep into the woods, and he sees that there's like a chimney and there's some smoke coming out. He goes, oh, Baruch Hashem, this is where it is. And he starts knocking on the door. He's waiting for the tzaddik to open up the door. And no one's opening the door. He knocks a little harder. Again, nobody's here. He's banging, bang, bang. It's mamash pikuach nefesh. He doesn't know how he's going to be able to make it. He's freezing already. And no one answers the door. Eventually, he just collapses at the doorway he's frozen. And then he wakes up the next morning. He's like, fell asleep on the doorpost. And the tzaddik opens the door. And, there's a nice warm house in there. And the tzaddik looks down and this guy looks up. He says, they call you a tzaddik? You didn't hear I was banging on the door? You couldn't open up your door for a yid in the middle of the freezing cold winter? So the tzaddik says the following. He looks like a very chashuv tzaddik, long white beard, and he says, "This is my house. This is my house. I let in who I want, and I don't let in who I don't want. This is my rishus hayachid. I could let in. I decide who comes into my house, and I decide who does not come into my house." And that's the end of the story. What does he mean? What's the depth of the story? That he was teaching this person a lesson. You let your Yetzirah in. At the end of the day, whatever we do, it's hard to blame on other people because we decide what comes into our eyes. We decide what comes into our homes, what comes into our dorm rooms, what comes into our minds, what comes into our pockets. We have that ability to decide that. And just like that tzaddik decided, I'm not opening the door to somebody that I don't want to come in. So a person, we all have that ability. We could keep the Yetzirah out. The Yetzirah has no business inside of us. The Yetzirah has no, if he's there, it's because we decided to open the door for him. We decided to go and buy, that laptop and that phone and that Xbox and that newspaper, that magazine, that, that book, whatever it is that we're bringing in, that podcast, that radio, whatever we're bringing into ourselves, that's our decision. We make that decision. We allow what we want to come into our homes, and we could stop what we don't want to come into our homes. And obviously, it's a free country. You could do whatever. We could all do whatever we want. We have bechira. But if a person wants to create a home, and let's say you're starting at a home and you're engaged and you want to really, begin setting your roots in the best way possible, the best way possible would be optimally, again, not, withstanding Harnasa and need to have it for college work and for research and all that. But notwithstanding that, the best way to create a house that's really a tayridika home is just not have it. Just don't bring it in. Once it's in, it's very hard to get out. Once you have these things in, it's very rare for a person to like say, all right, you know what? I have a laptop, but let's get real. Let's throw it out the window. I have an iPhone, but I'm gonna. It's doable, but it's very hard. If you go, if you go up to Muncie, and I've given a lot of plugs for this. I don't know if anyone listened, but you go to it's called the Vizhnitzer Beis HaChaim. If you put it in Waze,
Vizhnitz Beis HaChaim, and it's on it's in Muncie, a very like nice cemetery, and you feel there like you're in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what it is, but it's like a holy place, and you walk up a hill, and on the top of the hill, sort of on the top of the, is the Ribnitzer Rebbe. Ribnitzer Rebbe is a tzaddik Yisrael Eilam. And Yeshua's happen, and I spoke about, like, I had personal Yeshua's that happened. If you need a Yeshua or whatever, you go up to the Muncie, and you're not going to regret it. I needed an answer for a certain, I don't want to speak too personally, but on tape, but I needed something, and I was waiting and waiting, and it wasn't happening. And I went up to the Ribnitzer, it was visiting day. So anyway, we were sort of on the way up to the country, so made a stop in Muncie, and went davening at the Ribnitzer. 15 minutes later, this is after waiting months and months and months and months and months, 15 minutes after we pulled out of the Beis Eilam, I got a phone call. It was from the person that I was waiting for, and he called me back and he gave me the answer that I was hoping for. 15 minutes after I left the Ribnitzer. But near the Ribnitzer, like maybe 100 feet away, is two Sklener Rebbes. Sklener Rebbe, a big tzaddikim also. Like, and the Sklener Rebbe, the second one, the one that was Nifter very recently, or more recently, was very anti-technology, extremely against technology. In fact, him and Rav Matisyahu Salomon, Yibad Lo Chaim, together, they were the ones that created the Internet Asifa. No one here knows about it, maybe, but because it was, what?
City Field,
very good. What? What, you read about it?
Online.
Oh. Yeah. It's an interesting story, actually. The Internet Asifa was, how many years ago was that? Maybe 10 years ago? More? 11 years ago? So they filled up City Field, and then they filled up Arthur Ashe Stadium. There was, at first, everyone thought it was a joke. Who's going to come? And then, like, the whole Lakewood ended up coming, and everybody was scrambling to get tickets. It was, like, the event to go to. And so I called the organizer of the event. I got his number, and I said, listen, you know, Lakewood is coming, and all the yeshivas are coming. I said, I'm in Lander College for Men. We actually use computers. Like, those places, they don't have computers. They don't need to come. We actually need computers. If guys here, we do research and use the internet every day. We're the ones that need it. Give me the best seats in the house. He says, fine, you're right. He sent me about, I don't know, maybe 75 or 100 VIP tickets, like the best tickets, the Spitz tickets. Like, everyone was like so jealous of us. We had like, you know, the VIP, like we had, like you can walk in and it's like the best part of City Field, that's where we were sitting. And we were in all the magazines. That's why you didn't have to look at it online. We were in, I think, Ami magazine. They had a whole interview with our chevra. They had pictures of us in it. But why was I talking about this? Oh, the Sklener Rebbe was together with Matisyahu Salomon, and they were the two people that were pushing for this. So if you go to the Sklener Rebbe's kever, you look inside of like a big area, you know, like a big eichel sort of, and people take their phones and their tablets and they're whatever, and they smash it and they throw it into the grave. It's like a very big skula. Now they even have like a lucite, big lucite box opposite the kever. Maybe they said they don't want it people to actually throw that technology in the Sklener Rebbe's thing. So they smash it and they put it in like in a lucite case. And it's a big, you know, that's a cover for the Sklener Rebbe, because the Sklener Rebbe was so anti-technology. But, you know, so I said before that people, it's hard once you have it to give it up, and it is, but obviously people could do it. People have the ability to do it. But if you don't, if you l'chatchila could figure out ways, if you're starting off your life with a, you know, once you get married in Mitzvah Hashem, and you like, you're determined to keep your house hermetically sealed, or as hermetically sealed as you possibly can from foreign influences, so that your house could be a madul l'shchina, that you could have you could feel comfortable in your house knowing that you don't have all these distractions from Tevekos Pashem. You could daven like a mensch. You can learn. Just like on Shabbos, you feel like holy because you don't have that constant need to like check your email and you're this and you're that. So that would be a tremendous thing if you could do it and you could get your life off to the, you know, off on the right foot. That would be very, very big. But that's the chiddush of Yaakov Avinu, that it's not enough a har, it's not enough a sada. Those are those have too many holes in them. It's not hermetically sealed enough. In order to really create a matzav of dveikus b'Hashem, you have to be able to seal up your house as well as possible. I'll just end with a var from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Somebody asked him, what's the best? Should we move out of, I don't know, Brooklyn or Long Island and move to Lakewood? Because in Lakewood, you know, maybe our kids will turn out better because, you know, it's a firmer environment. Maybe the kids, the schools are firmer. So he said, there's a pasuk that says, we say it every morning, Pasuk de Zimra, Ki chizak briche sharayach, beirach banayach bekirbech. When you have strong locks, when you have strong bolts on your door, beirach banayach bekirbech, your children are blessed inside. Rabbi Yaakov says, you could live in Lakewood, it doesn't matter where you live, if you don't have good locks on your door, he doesn't mean necessarily physical locks, but he means spiritual locks, and making sure that the things that other people might be allowing in, you're not allowing in so fast, that's how you're going to have good children. That's beirach banayach bekirbech. If you don't have good locks, you could live, if you have good locks, you could live anywhere in the world. You could live in, you know, in the most decadent place and you should be okay. If you don't have locks on it, so you could be in the frumest place and it's not okay. Yaakov Avinu is mechadish that you have to try to create your home in a way that's the most, that you can keep out the distractions and the Yetzaharas and all of the challenges that we have today as much as possible. Mez Hashem, if we do, then we're going to also be zeicha to beirach banayich bekirbech.